Thank you, Lisa. Welcome to today's fellowship-wide call. It's 2021, and our topic today is tool number 11, service at every level, -Y intergroup. And it's presented by the Intergroup Caucus of Debtors Anonymous. My name is Brian, and I am a grateful recovering debtor from the Minneapolis area of Minnesota, USA. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Our call today will be recorded for a podcast, which will be found on the debtorsanonymous.org website under Fellowship Services, then Fellowship Podcasts in a few days. After the speakers, we will stop recording the call for a question and answer period. Anyone sharing or asking a question will not be recorded. I'm going to repeat that. If you are in the question and answer period, anyone sharing or asking a question will not be recorded. All callers have been placed on mute. Press star 6 to unmute only if participating in the call or during the question and answer period. Our timekeeper will stay unmuted. This tool number 11 is unique to our program as stated. Tool number 11 is, we perform service at every level, personal, meeting, intergroup, and world service. Service is vital to our recovery. Only through service can we give to others what so generously has been given to us. We want this to be about your recovery and the role of service specific to intergroup. Speakers will touch on what some of the terms and acronyms are, like Intergroup Service Representative, ISR, Intergroup Representatives, IR, and Group Service Representative, GSR. At the end, we will not only take personal shares from participants, but we will also open it for specific questions about intergroup service. So here's the format. Each speaker will have 15 minutes to speak. Our timekeeper will give you a time warning. Speakers, I remind you, you will have to unmute yourself after this, and when you unmute yourself, do check and see if we can hear you. Our first speaker is Robin from Minnesota DA Group. Our second speaker is Joe from UK DA Group, Intergroup, excuse me. And then our third speaker will be Sarah from the Capital Area Intergroup in DC. They will be speaking today about their experience with DA Intergroup service. We welcome our first speaker, Robin. Robin, you will have 15 minutes to speak. Kathy will give you a time warning at 5 minutes and 2 minutes. Please begin when you're ready. Robin, are you with us? Kathy, can you hear me?
Brian.
Hello.
Brian?
Is Robin there?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to, Joe, are you available? I'm going to move you ahead.
Yeah, it's Joe here. I'm available.
All right, Joe. I'm going to welcome you, Joe. You've got 15 minutes to speak. Our timekeeper will give you a time warning at 5 minutes and 2 minutes, and then we'll come back and get Robin second if she's available. Go right ahead, Joe.
Thank you. My name is Joe, a compulsive debtor, credit card addict, and money amnesiac. And I've just had a lesson that I am not in control and not to plan. I have a firm belief in my higher power, and I'm daily reminded. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds it for me. Thank you all in the background for everything you've done to organize today. And this is a massive thing for me. I don't normally, or I haven't in a long recovery career, made notes when it comes to sharing. I am Irish, born in Ireland, but I live in the UK, and as such, the Irish were qualified to speak for the world. But while I was thinking about today, I'm thinking I've got a responsibility. You know, I've got a responsibility to Debtors Anonymous and to the fellowship as a whole. So I did make some notes, only brief notes to help me along, on the flyer it talks about, the strengths, challenges and barriers to overcome for intergroups. And I've just put a few down, the strengths of our intergroup in the UK. We have strength in numbers. We have safety in numbers for the fellowship, for the guidance we give the fellowship. We have unity as an intergroup, and we also have different opinions and different suggestions coming from the members of intergroup from their vast experience in life as well as in recovery, we had a lovely intergroup meeting in the UK 2 months ago. Our next one is due the end of this month. And we had some positions of service vacant, and all of them were filled. And we had an abundance of members stepping up to do service, stepping up out of their comfort zone. But from my point of view, I'm chair of the UK Intergroup, and it just encourages me even more as to the benefits of an intergroup. And as for the challenges, one of the challenges is similar to one of the strengths, and that is there are quite a vast difference of opinions at time. But another challenge we have is lack of participation amongst the fellowship as a whole. And it's not just Debtors Anonymous, unfortunately, that suffers from this. My mother fellowship, I've been in recovery for nearly 30 years, and I have witnessed this in my service career. It seems to be the same people who do service at every level. But we also have another challenge in the UK. It's effective communication. It's gotten a lot better. One of the blessings I have noticed over this last 15, 18 months of lockdown in the UK, our communications have gotten stronger by the benefit of Zoom. It just goes to show that our fellowships are such that whatever the world throws at us, we will adapt, but we will never compromise our traditions. But we will adapt and survive, and we will just continue to grow. And for us, in the barriers for intergroup service here in the UK is the distance between groups. Most of our groups in the UK are in the London area. There may be 15 outside of London. For those of you who don't know the UK, Wyoming is actually larger than England. So the UK is slightly larger than Wyoming, but not much. And we are quite spread out. When you have a meeting that's 300 miles away from London. It's difficult to get participation at Intergroup. But Zoom has made that possible. Yeah, we have that. There is also apathy, as in all fellowships, which we have to try and overcome. And that is down to people who have reasonable length of service behind them to keep telling members the benefit of service, you know. And engaging. One of our barriers is engaging with the general public. We have a difficulty here in the UK is that our intergroup doesn't have a permanent office. And as such, to try and get major networks to communicate with us is quite difficult because they won't do it unless they have an office address they can write to and a manned telephone. So that's one of the things that our intergroup is working towards. But I'll just go on to the benefits of service, and especially the benefit of service at intergroup. You know, as I mentioned, I'm also a longtime member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was in that program I first learned about service outside a group level. You know, I am one of those individuals that for some reason I find it difficult to communicate on personal levels, but I'm okay with a group of people, and I feel comfortable with that. During my AA career, I never volunteered for any positions, but I had some very strong old-timers who would know when the time was right, and I was one particular person sponsored me into each position along the route from group service rep to intergroup. I became a regional representative for our intergroup, and from there I became a delegate and went to our annual conferences representing AA as a whole in the UK. Upon coming into DA, my solvency date is December 2007. I got involved in service at group level at first. However, it wasn't until a couple or 3 years later I started a group here in my hometown on 30 miles north of London that I had personal interaction with intergroup. And that was somebody at that particular time was in a service position outreach to those groups outside of London and inviting them in to become a member of intergroup. And we had a member at the time who was elected as our GSR. Unfortunately, he left the fellowship shortly after, and there was no one else to take up the role. So I started going to intergroup, and I was making friends at intergroup. I was learning from these people more about this fellowship, and that, and it was helping me, you know, so much. I got involved and I was elected as our loaner support. And this was a role I could do from home. It meant emails that came to our website would be passed to me from members or inquiries throughout the country. And I would be communicating with new people. And it was like speaking to myself because they were expressing their suffering, their pain, their desperation, reminded me how I felt when I first realized that I had a problem with money. You know, so I did that for quite a while. But then an individual within intergroup who took an interest in me, and it was coming up to a time when our chair was rotating out of position. And it was suggested in a similar way that if you're going to learn to jump out of an aircraft, it suggested you put on a parachute first. It was the sort of suggestion that given me, you know, I didn't have any option but to agree. Would I put myself forward as chair? And I actually didn't feel good enough. And also I have a thing called an ego that if allowed, then I would take control. However, in spite of myself, I was elected as our chair of London.
5 minutes left.
Thank you. Acknowledged. You know, I was elected as the chair. And what happened to me was I learned that I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be good enough. I just have to do the best I can. Now, my AA sponsor, God love him, he's 45 years in recovery. He once told me, he said, there is a curse with longevity as well as a blessing. And the curse with longevity is we think if we've been around, or I think, if I've been around this long, everything should be okay. But that's not true. At the end of the day, I'm a human being. And I do struggle. And I'm going through personal stuff at the moment, which is heartbreaking for me. However, one of the biggest personal benefits for me in service is that, and especially with Intergroup, I am fully learning that I am not alone. I don't have to be perfect. I just do my best, you know. Like in the early days of AA intergroups, this intergroup in here in the UK protects me. They tell me if I'm making a mistake, and I'm learning to be humble enough to accept that the collective conscience of our intergroup is stronger than me. But another benefit of service is, despite what's going on with my life, I have a responsibility. So I keep coming back. I know members of other fellowships for 50, 60 years in recovery, and the common theme of their long time is service outside of group level. Keeps them coming back. It keeps me coming back. And I'll just finish on this. You know, on the flyer, we talk about our responsibility pledge, you know. It's, our one is quite short. I pledge to extend my hand, offer the hope of recovery to anyone who reaches out to DA. In AA, their responsibility pledge was first uttered at a convention in Toronto in 1965, and it states, when anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AADA to be there for that. I, Joe, am personally responsible, and that is why I keep coming back. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for this opportunity to speak to our fellowship as a whole. I love DA. It has saved me from rack and ruin. And despite of everything going on, I am focused on recovery and on service to our intergroup. Thank you very much for listening.
You've just been listening to Joe from the United Kingdom DA Intergroup. Can you guys hear me? I'm checking again.
Yes, Brian, we can hear you.
Thank you. Great. And do we have solved our problem with getting Robin available to speak?
Lisa? Give me one moment. I'm going to try and unmute her on the dashboard. Hold on a second.
Okay, good. Thank you. Let me know, and I will introduce her. Thank you, Joe, very, very much. Well, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. I'm going to have...
Brian, can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Robin.
Hello.
You know, it's so... You know, do we need any further affirmation that we are powerless?
Nope.
our first speaker... Our second speaker, we've rearranged this, so I got to go off script a little bit. We're now going to hear from Robin from the Minnesota DA Intergroup. Welcome to Robin. Robin, you're going to have 15 minutes to speak. Kathy will give you a time warning at 5 minutes and 2 minutes. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Robin, grateful member of Debtors Anonymous, and I am the intergroup chair for Minnesota, or really it's the central region, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota, and are all involved in our intergroup. I have been a member of Debtors Anonymous since 2004, and I believe that Debtors Anonymous and the fellowship has saved my life. I began my intergroup career in 2019. I joined the group as a ISR, which is a position that from my home group, the Prosperity Meeting, I attended intergroup as an ISR, and I brought back to my group any information that was talked about in our intergroup meeting. We met in intergroup once a month, and then I would bring that information back to my home group, and let them know what was happening. In my position as chair, I help develop what we're going to do next year for our workshop. We have a committee that will meet and will come up with ideas for our workshops. We try to have at least 3 or 4 workshops a year. And on Zoom, we had to adapt on Zoom. And we've actually had really good success with Zoom. Our next workshop is actually on the 23rd of May, which is on solvent holidays. And it's holidays meaning like Christmas, things like that. And then also holidays meaning vacation type trips. And everyone is welcome. Put a little plug in there for that. But we have been very successful in presenting those workshops on Zoom. It's helped get people from all over the country, which has been really fun. Zoom has allowed us to meet easier. I know for the Minnesota intergroup, it was the meetings at 7:45 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and Minnesota weather gets cold and snowy and icy, and it's not always easy to get everybody to meet at our venue. So with Zoom, we started to get more people and more involvement from all the groups in the Twin Cities and the region. And we have decided to now pursue just doing a Zoom call each month for our Minnesota intergroup. It has allowed us to fill our positions, all of our positions, actually. We just had one opening, which is our archivist. However, we had every position filled in. I think that was the first time in a long time that our Minnesota intergroup has been alive. We have a very strong presence from the meetings here in the Twin Cities metro area, as well as South Dakota and Iowa and Nebraska. We do have a very strong presence. We are, Joe was talking about, the friendships that you have throughout the intergroup experience. And I can tell you that some of my close friends are through intergroup, and you get to meet people and really learn about who they are You know, we talk about service, and it helps all of our programs, which has been wonderful. I feel like for me, being the chair of Minnesota Intergroup has enabled me to reach out and talk to people that I might not have talked to for, you know, unless I was going to a workshop or something. And I know people from all of our groups, which is really, really cool for me. I also get to kind of represent, you know, the Minnesota Intergroup with our Zoom calls. We recently started a new meeting in South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and our Minnesota Intergroup has been very supportive in getting that meeting off the ground. We do have several members that are attending that meeting weekly and supporting it until we, you know, until Brad can get the meeting in person in Sioux Falls. And we've had people from all over the country, which is really cool. And it's been really fun to be supporting that meeting and doing what we can to make sure that it succeeds and that hopefully that meeting will be in person, and we may also have a Zoom meeting too, and that represents South Dakota, which is great. I really identified a lot with what Joe was talking about, you know, with his private struggles. I have been struggling, especially this last year as well, and Intergroup has really helped me stay focused with my service work, and it keeps me showing up, which is crucial to staying solvent in this program. I love doing service work. I do find, though, like Joe talked about in the UK, that a lot of times our speakers for, you know, our speaker meeting and workshops and things are kind of duplicated. The same people talk a lot, and we are really trying to reach the newcomer and some of those people that may not have been in
Robin, hold on one second. You got me muted somehow.
Okay, you've got your Lisa. You're taking care of this.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. Stick with us, everybody. A little technical problem. We should be right back with you. Thank you for your patience.
Actually, it would seem that we dropped Robin. I got from the call somehow.
Hi, everybody. This is Robin. I got disconnected. Can you hear me?
Yay. Welcome back.
Yes, we can. Thank you. Go ahead and continue, Robin. Thank you.
I can't remember. Of course, I am getting older, and I can't remember where I left off. But all I can say is that I am very passionate about the service work that I do on the intergroup level. Hopefully, I will be able to do some work at the World Service level in the future, and I look forward to that. I do service in our home meeting. I do service and step up for just about, you know, a lot of things that we do. But Minnesota Intergroup is very strong. We, like I said, are supporting new meeting in. Thank you. We're supporting our meeting in South Dakota, and it is really fun to see the growth that we're having in all of our meetings. Being on Zoom, and we look forward to, in some way, continuing some of the Zoom work to reach out to the newcomer that's struggling throughout the country and or world. We've had people from all over join our meetings. So with that, I think I'm going to pass.
Thank you. Lisa, can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is Brian again, the moderator. Robin, thanks very much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and especially with your work with Intergroup. For those of you who are, I don't know how international this call is, but for those of you who don't know, Minnesota is a state in the middle of the United States on the upper, about the Canadian border. So when Robin says it gets cold here, it gets cold here. Seriously. All right. Thanks very much, Robin. And we're going to move on. At this point, our third speaker is Sarah, and she is from the Capital Area Intergroup, the District of Columbia in the USA. Welcome to the call. You've got 15 minutes. Our timekeeper, Kathy, will give you a time warning at 5 minutes and 2 minutes. Sarah, please go right ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Great. Hi, my name's Sarah. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive debtor. And I'm not currently the ISR for my intergroup, but I've served on the Capital Area Debtors Anonymous intergroup for over a decade. And we call it Capital Area DA because it actually encompasses Virginia, Maryland, and the District of Columbia, D.C. And it covers, several medium-sized cities, including D.C., Baltimore, and Richmond, Virginia, North Virginia. There's a lot of areas there, towns and cities involved, as the Minnesota group does seem to also cover a lot of area. Our intergroup, I'm going to tell a little bit of my story first. I've always been told that when I share, I should tell what it's like, what I did and what it's like now, and I'm going to do that in as much in context of intergroups as I can, and within 15 minutes. Just a brief story about my recovery. I came to DA in 1995. I was a student. I was living on student loans in daily chaos and drama around money and debt. I worked the tools and did 1, 2, 3 step waltz until 2009 when I admitted my powerlessness finally and found a sponsor and moved through the steps rapidly. And within months, began my 9-step amends and daily practice of 10, 12, 11, and 12. Today, I am a wife and a mom, a new mom, and I'm a business owner and an independent artist. My last major debt was to the IRS in 2009. Since then, I've increased my income. I've paid my taxes honestly and on time. And I have not lied, cheated, or stolen, or lived on the edge, as I used to do, I will add. I have had to reset my abstinence date, I think 5 different times for small slips, all of which I went through the steps quickly with my sponsor and got clear on and made amends for and got back to doing service and sponsorship because that's what keeps me from going insane. in my deading disease. And I've always, since my bottom, been honest with my groups and the inner group about any slip that I would have. And as I said, they're minor, but I still treat them seriously and work the steps around them. So my current service, since this is about 211 service at every level, is a personal service. I am a sponsor of a number of ladies, and I try to work the steps in my daily life. At my group, I have a home group. It's Monday night in Arlington, Virginia. We're on Zoom if you want to join us at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm currently the group service rep, which means I represent this particular group at the world service level. And I'm on the intergroup caucus. A bunch of us who are on the call and who sponsored this call today, this is a call sponsored by the intergroup caucus. And I also serve on the Resource and Development Committee for World Service. At Intergroup, as I said, it's the Capital Area DA, and I show up. I was most recently the events coordinator. My term ended in mid-2020, and previously to that, I was the treasurer. We have a year term for events and a two-year term for treasurer. I actually had been treasurer for about 3.5 years, because I was completing someone else's term and then took on another two-year term. And before that, I did various things. I was a literature coordinator, and I did a lot of work to help update the website about, it was in 2008, so what was that, 13 years ago? And this intergroup, I want to say some little history about it. It was started, as far as I know, the bank information we have is that we got an EIN in 1990. And so we have an EIN, which is just a tax ID number. It's not, we are not a 501c3, but we have an EIN, which is just an ID number so that we can get a bank account as an intergroup and not have to have a personal person's name. It does require people to have their names on it, but they are not responsible. It's the EIN and the organization responsible. And we also have bylaws. As I said, we have a bank account. And recently, we got a PayPal account, which I'm not endorsing that, but it's an online banking option. There are many kinds. And we also got a Zoom account. And all through the fact that we have this bank account as an entity, not as a personal thing. That's all stuff that's been difficult for a lot of people and even for us who've been around for a long time. And part of why I was, I guess they asked us to speak or I volunteered to speak was because one of the things we wanted to talk about is that, you know, intergroups struggle and it's hard to get them started and sometimes it's hard to keep them going. And I was involved in 2018. Our intergroup had dwindled to two people who were attending the meetings. Well, it was four people, but two of the people's service was about to be up, the chair and the secretary. And I was at the time in 2018, I had one more year left on my treasury term, and we had an events coordinator. And the chair and the secretary were about to leave, and then it was going to be just the treasurer and the events coordinator, and we, and it was months of nobody showing up, and we decided to write a letter that said if we didn't have people show up, we gave, I think it was in July that we wrote the letter, and we said by October of that year, if no one stepped up, we would dissolve, and we would do it responsibly. We would close the bank account, and we'd send money to World Service, that's what we had said, I believe. And that's what we did. And we drafted that letter and sent it out by email. And nobody really, one person volunteered and actually has been really integral in helping us get back on our feet. But nobody stepped up to be a chair or be on the board until the day of the October business meeting in 2018. Some people showed up. And so we didn't dissolve. We kind of got a little breath of life and we moved forward and we made some changes and we also, I personally started to do things a little differently. I used to volunteer to do more. You know, I was a treasurer, but I would help with the website, or I was a website person, but I helped with events. And a lot of people did that on our intergroup for many years before 2018, kind of almost ending. And so I have a lot of insight about what makes us healthy now, and why we were kind of losing our steam there as an intergroup. Some of the things that we're doing now, and this is what I'll share, is that, I think by telling you what we're doing now, I think it'll explain what wasn't working. One of the things is we now try to make the board positions a priority. So, you know, we can't have we have bylaws. So our bylaws say that our quorum, meaning in order to vote on anything and take any action, we need to have an officer and two coordinators present. And if we only have four officers, which all we have is our board, is a chair, a vice chair, a treasurer, and a secretary, and we only have two of those positions filled, and we have a monthly meeting, it becomes very difficult to have quorum if one of those persons can't show up, or if both of them can't show up. We also didn't have a lot of people coming as reps, meaning the terminology we have, the IR, we don't actually use that terminology, we just say a rep. We call it CAD rep because CAD is our intergroup name, but it's an IR, intergroup rep. That's when the group sends somebody to represent them to the intergroup. And we still sort of struggle to get people to come in that capacity, but it ebbs and flows. And we have today all of our board positions filled, and we have a number of our coordinator positions, meaning kind of specific areas like events, literature, website, the where and when, which is our meeting list. And not everything is filled, but a lot of it is now. And I think part of it is because we have a
5 minutes left.
Thank you. I'm almost done. Just going through things. So one thing, priority is make sure we get consistently fill these board positions with people who have long-term recovery and experience with many services. And both Joe and Robin kind of touched on that, you know, if you've had experience prior, it's like this is the place where you can really give back because it requires some experience at the group level. You know, if it's been a secretary or a chair or a treasurer at the group level, then being an intergroup, you can offer a lot of service there because you've had experience. We've shifted our focus to having committees rather than one person who's the event person. We rely on event person or literature person. And now we're focusing especially for the website and for events on having a committee of people because many hands make light work. We're a big intergroup, and when we do an event, it's a lot. So we're trying to focus on committees instead because people would get burned out and they do amazing for a year, all these events, and then we'd never see them again and they'd never serve on any other position. So we're trying to focus on committees rather than one single volunteer. And lastly, I think, again, Robin sort of touched on this too, is that focusing on contacting people directly and meeting directly. I think our intergroup started to lean on the internet and our website, and maybe we had a newsletter person kind of came and went, and we weren't personally reaching out to meetings. And at some point, we didn't have a treasurer, so there was a lot of we needed hands on deck. But one of the things that I found since this almost dissolving is that when I call someone and say, "Hey, I think you'd be great at events," they consider coming. And when I just go to my meeting and announce that intergroup needs service, nobody says anything and nobody comes. So I found that one of the ways to and it's kind of what Joe especially was talking about, that personal interaction, like that's why I'm there. And that's the great benefit of intergroup is I have a wider support group of recovering debtors that I can call on and whose recovery I incredibly admire. That's the way I do world service because I can now I'm connecting on world level, but it needs to go both ways, and that we need to, you know, connect back to people and say, hey, we're here. How can we help you? And making calling people, not just emailing them, not just sending them a flyer, but really connecting that way. And it for a while we struggled because we were like with a very big region, so driving the people to meetings was a lot. But actually right now it's great. We can all go to the Zoom meetings. But
1 minute.
Okay. Let me just finish what I was saying, was just that before COVID, you know, we picked up the phone, and it really made a difference for in our group. And that's how I'll share. Thanks for letting me share.
Lisa, can you hear me?
Yes, Brian, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Thanks to all three of our speakers, to Joe, Robin, and Sarah, and for sharing some very different aspects of your experience with Intergroup. Lisa will now end the recording for our personal shares, question and answer period.